Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with your daily message of hope. As we enter into this Thursday, we keep in mind the focus of our minds and our hearts is the Lord Jesus Christ, truly present among us in the Holy Eucharist. Remember, today as Thursday is the day that the Church first experienced the Eucharist at the Last Supper, the First Mass, where Jesus, our Lord and Savior, instituted the Holy Eucharist as well as the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Every Thursday, we're given the great privilege and opportunity to consider the treasure our Father in heaven has bestowed upon us in Christ, his Son, and how Jesus Christ, his Son, remains present among us in the Holy Eucharist. We may receive our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist by attending the Holy Mass, by spending time with him in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. This treasured gift given to us and the Church is something that we can never fully exhaust as we consider, meditate upon, and allow to guide us into contemplation. This afternoon, I'm privileged to be joined by Devin. Devin, welcome. Devin, now you bring something very beautiful, very exciting into the life of the Church, especially the perspective on the Holy Eucharist. When I say the Holy Eucharist or invite you to respond and share your thoughts about Jesus present among us in the Blessed Sacrament, what comes to your mind?
The bread of life.
Uh-huh.
The Eucharist to me is the new manna, which it is to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so necessary for us on this new Exodus. If we intend on reaching the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
What better way than receiving him who is life and who is love and who is the destination in the new manna that he instituted from heaven. And so, yeah, that's the Eucharist. I mean, the spiritual food, the daily necessity.
Now, a lot of the faithful became familiar with the Holy Mass as it's offered at St. Joseph's Cathedral from the time when they would either listen to the Mass or watch the Mass. Hmm. And you had a role in that.
A little bit, yeah.
Were you not the one operating the cameras?
Yes, I operated the cameras. For a couple months, it was just the bishop and a priest and I doing
so. In your own way, in a very talented and gifted way, you helped bring the Mass to many people who were not able to attend in person. Now, your own history, your own faith journey is one which is particularly exciting. How long have you been Catholic?
I'm 3 years, a little over 3 years.
And how old are you?
23.
Very well. So you had 19, 20 years of this life, and then you decided to enter the Catholic Church. What brought you into the Catholic Church?
Okay. Well, that's a very long story. But
11 minutes. That's all we got.
Yes,
actually, 10.
Essentially, Our Lady. Mm-hmm. Our Lady is what brought me into the Church. Long story short, I was dating this young Catholic woman when I was in college. And I think we were going on a date or mm-hmm. something. And so she had asked if I would stay, or if we could go to Holy Mass first.
Sure.
And, you know, to me, I was like, okay, yeah, fine. So I went in. We're making jokes the whole time about I'm going to burst into flames as soon as I walk in the door, all the very ignorant things that one can say when he knows nothing of the Lord. So I didn't burst into flames.
I should say that did not happen. Yes, you're sitting in front of me.
Yes. Maybe purifying flames later on. But anyhow, so they had this large mural of our Lord, the Holy Trinity. And I didn't pay attention at all really to the Mass because I didn't know what was going on. I was a lot of sitting and kneeling and standing. But there was an image of our Lord, and I couldn't get my eyes off it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I just felt every emotion one could feel almost in a moment, where it was, you know, anger and happiness and sorrow, but absolute joy and anxiety and peace. And I was really frustrated, and we walked out. I told her about it and said I felt like crying. And she said, oh yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. But I still laughed it off, like, oh yeah, okay, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only, I think, you know, over time it just led to more questions. I couldn't get that out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And then I think at one point I asked her if she could teach me how to pray.
Mm.
And so she taught me how to pray the rosary.
Oh, and then you were toast.
And then I was toast. You know how burnt it works.
Toast. What comes to your mind when you think about learning how to pray the rosary? What was the first, let's call it a standout? You learned how to pray the rosary, you went through the mysteries, you know. What was that first thing that kind of caught your attention in learning how to pray the rosary? And you just had to wrestle with it. You couldn't let go of it. You know, it wouldn't let go of you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. So I think at that time I was also reading the Gospels for the first time.
Mm.
And so when I was praying the rosary, the Lord had really given me a grace to just kind of actually meditate upon the mysteries as we ought to do in the recitation of the rosary. And I think that's what I was really drawn to was the fact that there were thoughts that were coming to mind that weren't from any knowledge base that I had apart from the rosary, and yet it was still beautiful and I could recognize the truth in it. And so it was like, it was this odd addiction that was replacing a lot of addictions.
Sure.
Where it was just, there was peace. I knew that it was holy and I felt infantile.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I felt so little. I don't know what I'm doing. I know that I can pray these prayers.
Yeah.
And apparently it's the best prayer or one of the best prayers. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, on Thursday, we remember as Catholics the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Eucharist. And one of the more popular prayers to pray is the Holy Rosary when we go into adoration. Now, sometimes in different places and some people, there's a tendency to think that somehow the Rosary can distract us from the Eucharist or from the Lord. And really, truth be told, I think while that comes from an innocence of heart, of wanting to make sure we give our time to Jesus, I think it also comes from ignorance of the fact that the rosary is a school in the life of prayer. And when someone prays the rosary, you're basically entering into the school of Jesus where Mary is the teacher and the saints are our fellow classmates. And cheating is allowed. Because we look at how the saints study the Lord, how they love the Lord, how they become one with the Lord, where Mary is the first and best teacher. And we're called to kind of cheat off of the saints, you know, and we learn from their lives. And so many of them, the rosary is a very powerful, very beautiful, a very effective way to draw closer to Jesus. Because in every single one of those 20 mysteries, you know, you have an opportunity to see Jesus from the perspective of his mother, from the perspective of Our Lady. And even in the mysteries that perhaps at first glance are primarily Marian in their character, like the Assumption of Mary into heaven or the queenship of Mary as queen of heaven and earth, even in the mysteries that are at first glance uniquely or primarily Marian, actually there's a Christ-centered dimension to it that's undeniable. Of all the mysteries of the rosary, which one is your favorite?
Oh.
Dramatic pause.
I don't know.
You can have a couple favorite mysteries.
Okay. Well, I'm really attracted to the sorrowful mysteries.
Sure.
Particularly. And I would say that the one it's always the first, the mortal agony in the garden.
Hmm.
Just because I think it alludes to Christ's humanity and the struggle that he was permitted to suffer, that we all suffer, where it's a matter of sacrifice of will. It's a matter of opening our hearts to the Father.
Yeah.
It's even when our friends aren't with us, or they're not praying for us or praying with us, we're still called to pray. We're still called to enter in all that temptation. And that's really powerful, because I think when you suffer, when you come up, when trials come up in your life, the tendency is to become despondent.
Sure.
And so I like the mystery for that reason. And I think my second favorite mystery would be the Nativity of Our Lord. Just the humility of the Lord to enter into such such a dirty place.
Yeah, you know, it's really a smelly gross place. Nasty.
But just the reflection on the Holy Family, and the many virtues of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, and just trying to contemplate how they would have interacted with our Lord, knowing who he is, but also recognizing their authoritative role in his life as parents, I think is truly beautiful. And in that, the Lord's humility is accented, where he permitted himself to be commanded.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Yeah, right. Yep.
So,
yeah. If you could say an offer, suggest, invite through a few simple words, anything to anyone, someone who's listening today, perhaps that individual who is struggling to maintain hope or is struggling to pray, not really sure how best to pray, or maybe feels distant from our Lord in the Eucharist, or maybe even feels like a foreigner, you know, with the sacred mysteries, you know, it's like, oh, everyone knows so much more than I know, and everyone seems like they really got it going on in their prayer, and then there's me. You know?
Sure.
And most of us are more in that than the other position. What is it you would invite? I mean, having been in a position in your life for 20 years, not being Catholic, and then now for the past 3 years being Catholic, you know, receiving Jesus in Holy Communion and knowing Mary as mother and queen. But there has to be that, you know, there has to be that effort to open one's eyes and look ahead. Right. Look ahead towards the Lord.
It's always the goal.
Heaven is
when
the goal.
So
awesome. God bless you.